minutes.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. We're back, and we're happy. 7:05 in the morning. It's September 2nd, and August has gone away from us again. We're joined by Bad Bob. I understand you were big. You were part of the team yesterday, even more so.
It was interesting to participate, and Trish is always a good guest host, and she did a good job. And a big shout-out to Mark Beecham for doing an excellent job on Monday and Tuesday, but it is good to have you back.
Well, you know what? They're good people to have in here, and every so often you need to hear another voice here every so often. And speaking of other voices, which, you know, really sounds from the heavens. Linda.
Well, good morning. I can hardly hear myself. This is interesting. Good morning. Here we go. It's currently 69 degrees. Going to be a high today of 103. And yes, again, Bob, thanks so much. You know, we're just going to come right out of the chute this morning and tell you about what an incredible experience we had on every level. It's interesting when you travel. It could be a horrendous experience. It could be a joyful experience. The latter part of what I just said is what we had a joyful, a wonderful experience.
Well, you know, we did. We went back to pay honor to a family member when he was buried at Arlington. Chief Warrant Officer Jimmy Roche had passed away, though, 2.5 months ago, and this was truly an honor that he went to Arlington when we buried him day before yesterday. And what happens is they put his casket on a caisson, horse-drawn. They had an honor platoon. They had a band. They had seven soldiers with rifles for the salute. The trumpet played taps. There were probably 65 people there, family members, but many from his squadron that he had flown with in Vietnam, including men's lives he had saved, I mean personally had saved. And the man who had given him a kidney, who had been in the squadron but didn't even know him when they for a kidney transplant. So the reason we went was for his paying honor to Jimmy. But the overall experience was like that. It was joyous from the time we left.
The feeling of honor, just the whole feeling of honor, that's all I can say. And then, you know, of course, then we had several of Carl's family members that were there. Everybody came from all over the country. But Washington, D.C., in itself, I mean, we really had a chance to take in the Washington Mall. Actually, we were there the evening after Glenn Beck was there, and many people staying at our hotel were there that day. And I don't know where they traveled from, but it wasn't a far distance, the two gals that I had met in the elevator. But the next day, you know, we saw the World War II monument and the Korean monument and the wall. We were able to, a very special friend of ours, her brother's name is on the wall, and we did the tracing of his name. And there are people who are volunteer there that are former Vietnam vets, and they take turns. And if somebody wants to do that kind of thing, then they'll help you with a piece of paper to do a tracing of the name on the wall.
And chalk that can do it, and plus they have a ladder that they help people with if the name is up, you know, off the ground.
Yeah. So and then we had wonderful things besides the mall and the Lincoln Memorial. We went to go see a Norman Rockwell exhibit, which was really fascinating to me because this was the collection from Steven Spielberg and George Lucas, and a short film was in the exhibit that talked about how Norman Rockwell. Was really inspired them as children. Evidently, Norman Rockwell, when he would do paintings, he would cast his paintings. He would have an idea and he would cast it, the perfect actress or, you know, the look, and get the visual, take a picture of it, and so then he would etch it and then he would paint it. So we really were fascinated with the fact that both Steven Spielberg and George Lucas talked about, you know, when they finally, after American Graffiti and whenever they were able to start collecting, and how Norman Rockwell, within a painting, would capture the feeling of a whole film or a picture or a feeling or of an era. So that was quite fascinating too.
It was we were able to travel around, but the one thing that struck us about the whole experience was how friendly people were. Taxi cab drivers, absolutely friendly, and you know, not one of them spoke English as their native language, but they all were friendly. You never felt like you were being taken advantage of like you do in some cities, some large cities. It was a, I guess, the trip since we went back to honor Jimmy, and it was to be a joyous occasion, a solemn occasion, but also joyous where the family gets together. And we honor somebody that has been part of us for 61 years. It was the whole, our experience was one not of sorrow, and we appreciated that. We have to take a quick break here. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Tim. Yeah, morning. It's 7:15. But Carl and the Bot, good morning. It's 7:15. It's KCNR 1460. You know, again, about Arlington. We took a tour through there later in the day because it's such a beautiful place, and it's a, I guess, you know, Hall of Heroes there.
And a tram tour. I would highly recommend that you take a tram tour because the people that are working there, like the docents, will really give information to you that you wouldn't know if you were just doing a walking tour.
You know, it's 640 acres. It belonged to the Robert E. Lee's family. Now, General Lee was, of course, the head of the Confederate Army, and the Union, when they were looking for a place to bury people from Manassas, they chose that property because it belonged to the Lee family, and they started burying the federal troops there. And essentially was making sure that they would never be able to come back. And it worked. However, in the 1870s, they were sued. Lee's son sued to say, hey, look, you can't just take the land like that. And he was paid $100,000, I guess, for 648 acres, which was big money back then. But here's the thing. While we were there, and we finished as we were leaving, the first of these few other funerals started. And it was of three Marines that were killed in Afghanistan, I think it was last week. And a bomb, IED, went off. They all were killed together, and they were burying them in Arlington. So the amount of Marines that were coming in, the families were coming in to pay honor. Patriot Guard riders rolling through and to lead the processions. And they averaged 27 funerals a day at Arlington. 27. And they say in the next 30 years, within the next 30 years, Arlington will be filled up completely. And then it becomes not so much a cemetery where you go in to conduct services, but as it is hallowed ground that you
You have lived there before, and you said that you saw stuff in Arlington that you never saw because we took the tram tour. We saw Robert E. Lee's house.
The changing
of the guard, which was fabulous. I mean, you've seen that before.
For the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Right,
yes.
But we walked and took a tram, and then later took a taxi over to, which was spectacular.
It's the sixth largest cathedral in the world.
It's called the Washington
National Cathedral.
You
can put the Washington Monument in the almost put the entire Washington Monument if you laid it on its side. Inside the cathedral there.
Spectacular. It took 83 years to build, and we've been watching Pillars of the Earth, and this just was just a spectacular Gothic-inspired cathedral. Now, who's buried there?
Woodrow Wilson, Helen Keller.
It was fascinating.
It's a beautiful place. I mean, we've traveled. We have had the opportunity, both of us, to travel abroad and see cathedrals in Italy and
Germany
and Venice and these places.
France.
And this one is just spectacular. You go up to the seventh floor, up in the bell towers, and you walk all the way around it, and you can see the Blue Ridge Mountains from Washington, D.C. Anyway.
I just wanted to share that with you, but we have a lot of stuff that's going on right now, this very day. We know you want to sink your teeth into...
Yes. We've got... we're going to be talking about bills that didn't pass, that would have taken away your gun rights here in California and your right just to shop in some ways. We've got guests here we're going to be talking to after we take this break. We've got Gary Cadd coming in at 8 o'clock. And as you know, on the front page of the Record Searchlight broke today about salaries, pensions, and the amount of money being paid to our managers. here in the city, which has kind of raised some eyes, as you can possibly, as you probably imagine. If you haven't seen that yet, we're going to talk about that. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars for hundreds of people. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, I'm Patrick Henry.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. We're back, and we're really happy to be here. 7:22 in the morning on September 2nd.
Good morning, 73 degrees. It's going to be high today of 103, and you heard that chuckle because Jeff from Crackmaster is here, and he said, you know, Carl's dancing and clicking his fingers, but how can you not? To the, oh, here she comes. Yeah. Well, good morning and welcome, Jeff.
Jeff.
Yeah, how
Never
are you?
Never seen Carl bust a move before. It's great.
Yeah, you can,
I love it.
You know, it can happen like once every so often. But, you know, I have been gone for 4 days. And we'll
there you go.
Okay, Jeff, you know, we've had you on.
Welcome to the show. Welcome,
thank you very
welcome
much.
Welcome back, we should
yeah.
say.
Thank you.
We've had you on before for a variety of reasons on our old show, and this one is because, one, it's your local business. Two, you support veterans' issues, and you are a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Three, you ride a Harley.
Not lately, but...
Not lately?
Yeah.
Showing us
and
his
four,
stuff.
You've got just a really a beautiful girl.
Oh, yeah.
Woman in your life.
Very.
Okay, so, but tell us what Crackmaster is for people that may just be listening for the first time.
Crackmaster is the only true professional windshield repair facility shop in Northern California, and that's basically from Sacramento North. And I say true professional because windshield repair throughout the history, 40-year history of guys out there trying to fix your windshields, nobody has taken it to a standalone business. Typically, it's an add-on business. You'll see ads in Popular Mechanics, magazines like that, for an add-on for like a detail shop. Car washes are famous for adding windshield repairs. Even mechanics, it's basically an add-on to existing businesses. It's never been a standalone business in its own until this gentleman about 20 years ago discovered or created this long crack technology of repairing more larger, more severe damage as far as the stone hits, the stars go, and then the capacity to repair long cracks. With the focus on restoring that structural integrity back to the glass.
Now, what's the longest crack you can repair?
Well, that's an open-ended question because I haven't met my max length yet. Except I've attempted a couple 48-inch cracks. I've succeeded like once. I really won't attempt something like that. But typically, if you have a crack about 24 to 30 inches, it is still in the realm of possibility.
I know I've had one, I think it was like 14 inches, crack. It just, I mean, it cracked just, I mean, it wasn't like there was a warning. It was like cracked.
Almost then, immediately.
Yeah, and then you repaired it well over a year ago, and you can't see it. From the, you know, if you're looking at it from the outside of the car, you cannot see it. And
correct.
We've never had a problem with it since.
No, I'm just going to shift gears here real fast, if you don't mind, because at the break we were talking about insurance and insurance fraud. And I just think our listeners are going to be fascinated to know it's not just the customer that's doing, or the insurance companies. Could you share that with us?
It's a very complicated issue, and I'll try to simplify it because I
maybe you can.
I explain this to people at length several times a day. Basically, it's customer by customer that I am able to inform, because I don't really get out there and advertise any of this stuff, but. In many cases, your insurance company is defrauding you on your glass claims. Most of the insurance companies offer to waive deductible if you choose repair over replacement. They claim they pay 100% for the repair, but when it comes down to the technician in the shop, they don't, because there is a third-party administrator of claims out there designed to mitigate the value of your policy. And what happens is you call in an insurance claim, and you don't realize, although there is a disclaimer on the message before they pick up, when you go through the phone tree of setting up the claim with your insurance, you are transferred to this third-party administrator for claims. The third-party administrator is owned by the glass companies, the glass manufacturing companies. One of them is the biggest glass manufacturer, distributor, installer in the world. And they don't inform you as to what is possible in the marketplace as for the possibility of repair. There are very few of us in the nation that can do these more serious repairs, long cracks such as that. Again, windshield repair has never been taken very seriously over the years, and it's never really been a standalone business. Not very many guys can make a living doing this, and or make a less of a living than they really want. You know, I'm not living in a $250,000 house, that sort of thing. So
it's just the fact that that a lot of times people aren't told there's alternatives than having the whole glass.
Well, you're not giving the information necessary to make an informed decision. I got a little stumped on my thought process.
That happens
to
me daily. It's just part of the the blood feeding the brain the first thing in the morning.
You know, the thing is that you do have a choice.
You always have a choice.
And one of the reasons, again, local business, Crackmasters coming in, you guarantee your work.
The only one that does.
If there's any problems with it, people can bring it back to you, and you'll touch it up or redo it or whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I find that very refreshing. You know, and that's the thing about local businesses. And one of the reasons we back local businesses is that the big difference you may end up, and not always. You know, a lot of times you can make really good deals with our local businesses, but these are people you can go back to and talk to.
Exactly right.
And say, and you're not talking to a corporation that says, gosh, you know, the people there are really nice, but you know what? There's nothing I can do for you. Or you have to send it off to here. You know, what do you mean send it off to here? Or I guess, you know what, we're going to have to replace that again.
Well, it's the human touch.
It's the human touch and the personal touch they give. Because I know that you have people bring their vehicles into you because you need to keep it. Keep the temperature at a certain degree and keep it out of the sun while you do all the work.
Out of the sun, out of the cold. Basically, I have to stabilize the temperature of the glass in order to do what I call a competent windshield repair. And there's a lot of refining over the years that I've done in order to really make this the best that's possible. My goal has been to be the best. And so I think it was about 2 years after I started a business, a professional association popped up on the screen. I saw that as an opportunity to learn and grow with the business. And, you know, I'm just one little guy stuck up here in Redding, California, no exposure to anybody else in the industry. And how am I going to learn more and progress this business? And this association, National Windshield Repair Association, gave me the opportunity. They have conferences every year, and go to the conferences. It's usually a 2 to 3 day session, and talk with other technicians around the country, get tips. They have seminars, training seminars, and it has been invaluable in bringing back some of this technology.
Okay, so how do they get to your place of business? What's your address and your phone number?
3208 South Market Street, just south of the Good News Rescue Mission.
Okay, and your phone number?
530, of course, 241-8373.
Jeff Wurst, Crackmaster. Thank you so much.
That's me. Thanks for having me.
We like his service. We like his work. Carl Indebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
I'm going to let this play all the way to the beginning lyric. Well, it's coming pretty soon, isn't it, Bob?
This is a bumper at Fate.
Oh,
there you go.
There we go. Good morning. I was supposed to be, I believe in miracles. That's what I was waiting for. Anyway, 73 degrees today. It's going to be high today of 103. Thank you. Hey, Bob Belongi, just want to thank you for just always being so consistent at the board, and we so appreciate it. I see that there's a new piece of equipment there.
Well, what it's done is fixed a ongoing issue that we've had with the sound of one of the microphones, and it's another thing that's in the way, but I think it has improved the sound of this particular mic.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you. And I want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards. I want to thank all of you for making the music, the summer music series out at Ensalmo's. a wonderful success. We were sold out. We were backed up. We had a tremendous night Friday night. And it's just hard for me to believe that here it is again. Tomorrow's going to be Friday. And we did finish up on the music series on the 27th. And I want to make an announcement that we are going to be doing some more evenings out at Anselmo, some special events. And we are going out there today to finalize some of those dates. So we'll have more times to celebrate together. I also want to make an announcement today that, don't forget, please mark your calendars for September 9th at 6 p.m. I hope that some of you are going to be too upset with me, and I hope that you'll let me take that hour on Thursday nights at 6 where Tom Sullivan usually is, and I will be bringing you everything that's going on in the North State, what's hot, what's not. I will have a theater review. Somebody who comes in and tells you what's happening with auditions and theater, fashion, film, fun. We'll be playing a whole track of music, something that might be the hottest new CD or a band that may be in town that has a CD. It's all the things that we can do to help celebrate the North State here. Girls' night out, the perfect date, guys hanging around, girls hanging around, just going out having a great time with your buds, and that's what... it's going to be called On the Spot with Linda Bott starting Thursday, September 9th. So please stay tuned and mark your calendar for that. Also, I want to let you know that our chat room is open. And what happens when Carl and I are here, I bring in my little MacBook, and we're able to take your emails, and the chat room is open. So you can go to KCNR1460.com. And the chat room is open, and Bob and I are waiting for you guys to interact. I'm telling you, we got some juice coming up here. And also, don't forget tomorrow night, Movies in the Park. There's a new series that's starting out, so you might want to check out your date book. There's all kinds of great stuff. Aaron Tippin is going to be at, oh, gosh. The reason I got lost with Aaron Tippin, I interviewed Aaron in Nashville at the Country Music Awards a couple years back, and his wife is from Reading, and so he's going to be at the Intermountain Fair. That's it. Carl.
Pause for effect.
I'm trying to...
Are you trying to... I'm trying to find my glasses on. So anyway, you might want to check out the date book on that, but he is really a spectacular musician.
He's going to be today through Monday at the Intermountain Fairgrounds, MacArthur County.
Well, he won't be there every day, but he has one night. He's on the front cover.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be on the he headlines the 8 p.m. show Saturday.
There you go. So if you're an Aaron Tippin fan, and talk about an all-American guy, very, very much a patriot, and like I said, he has a beautiful wife, and has a beautiful home in Nashville. I interviewed him. He's written some wonderful songs that he's, you know, taken over and performed for the troops, and very all-American, so that would be a patriotic thing to do as well. So, I just wanted to share with you some of those things. Again, our chat room is open. We're going to be talking about what's been going on that just hit the paper today, too. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we've got Gary Cabb, but now...
Well, we're going to take a quick break first.
Okay, let's take a break.
And then we come back, we'll talk about one of our new shows that's getting ready to launch. Phone numbers here are 605-4567. The chat room's open, or you can send an email to Linda at KCNR1460.com. Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is Diane from Country.
Now we'll let this one play. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 7:42 in the morning.
And 74 degrees.
605-4567, or just get on the chat room here. We're getting ready. We're getting back into it here. We've been off the air for a few days, and so it's kind of like you got to get back into it. It's like this morning. You know
when things are going your way when?
Yes. You know what? You know that you're being smiled upon is when, you know, in the morning I get up, I take Snooki, who looks like she's gained 5 pounds. She's really buffed up while we were gone. Probably been lifting weights or taking steroids. We're not sure. I take her outside. I drop her down out into the yard, which would be like here. She could get out by herself, but I enjoy it. And it's dark out in the backyard. There's lights right where we're at, lights out the other end, but it's dark in the middle. All of a sudden, she starts getting bigger. And she starts hopping and barking, and she runs in this one direction. I'm going, oh, cat's out there. She turns, and here they come right at me. The first one running 2 feet away from me is a skunk. And right behind her, Snooki, just barking away. And for the first time in her entire life, I went, Snooki, stop. And she did. The skunk hits the wall, bounces off, rebounds, and runs down the side of the fence, disappears. Are we living right or what?
Yeah, but there was no spray. I mean,
there was no spray.
I have had the situation in the backyard where the skunk sprayed the dog, and not recently, but you know, you just let the dog out and there it goes. Okay, so when she came in this morning, you were carrying her. I saw you sniffing her.
Well, I couldn't.
I know you let Mister, but what are you doing?
I know. I couldn't believe it was happening. First of all, anyway.
So she again, the thing smiling on you. The skunk didn't spray you. Ran by your feet.
It was a good day. And speaking of a good day. I know, it's hard to follow a skunk story, but it was a good skunk story. Jim Wilson.
Do I get to follow the skunk story? That is so cool.
There's your segue into is that somebody was looking over me this morning.
Indeed.
Okay.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I'd like to say, for the record, that I would much rather listen to you than Tom Sullivan.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm here to help.
And welcome to the station.
Thank you.
Just one night a week. But and you have a show that is going to appear and start here on Sunday evening.
Just one night a week.
Can you share, as part of our expanding, we
have, of course, everybody, you know, we have radio shows on Saturday from 7 in the morning till 3, and that's expanding out. And then Sunday now, we've started from 7 till, in fact, it'll be 7 till 1 p.m. on, 8 to 1 p.m. on Sundays, and now your show is beginning Sunday evening
From 6 to 8.
Talk to us about your show.
I will talk to you about my show. First of all, it's called Genesis Generation Radio, and there's a reason for that, and that is that we are boomers, biblically speaking, and I tend to reference the Bible just a little bit. A generation is 40 years. That means the boomer generation is the generation of people born from 1944 to 1984. After that, it's the Genesis generation. I believe with all my heart that there is a tremendous, tremendous destiny on the generation of our children, and that it's our privilege to roll out the carpet for them, to pass the baton, as it were. So Genesis Generation Radio is simply going to be a two-hour live call-in talk show in which rotating teams of co-hosts, one my age, one young enough to be my son or daughter, will simply co-host. We'll talk about whatever's on our minds and be amazed at how similar those things are and how disparate from time to time, and simply model honor and respect, the way people are supposed to treat each other, and take calls from anybody who wants to call in. So that's the whole deal right there.
No, you also have the ability to chat.
We will be able to accept
emails.
Mm-hmm. And we will have our laptops ready and armed.
What inspired you to do this type of radio show?
To be honest, it was a combination of things. But for years, Diane and I, my wife Diane and I, and certainly during the time that we've been doing Pray North State, we have been struck by the tremendous need for reconciliation across so many different lines, whether you're talking ethnic or generational or regional or what have you, denominational in the churches and so forth. And we're very much aware of the fact that the so-called generation gap really appeared when we were kids. Nobody had ever talked about it before. And there's a need for reconciliation between our generation and the generation of our parents, those who are still left alive. But that same pattern is repeating itself between our generation and what I call the Genesis generation. And we said, you know, we want to do something about this. We don't know what to do, but we want to do something about it. Genesis generation is at least a part of our response to that issue.
Well, you know, as part of being open in our KCNR is a community radio station. Mm-hmm. We have viewpoints that go across all lines.
Indeed.
Here. We have guests that go across all lines wanting to give everybody a voice.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that we've gotten to the spot in our society, I guess, where it's not enough to disagree with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then civilly.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda says this so many times. It's not enough to be able to disagree with somebody and then sit down and break bread with them afterwards. You know, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you have to accept what they're saying or believe it, but you can treat each other civilly.
Yeah.
Well, we've reached a point, it appears, in our society, and this is... You can't aim it at one side or the other.
No,
it happens everywhere where we want to destroy the other person's if their beliefs do not match ours.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be a spot where that we can talk about it, and we try to do it here on our show. There has to be places where people can talk and say, "How would you handle this?" or "I disagree with you."
Mm-hmm.
And talking with somebody that's old, you know, that's young enough to be your son or daughter. probably means they've got a different viewpoint.
More likely.
In life. So how do you get these viewpoints back and forth?
I'll tell you one of the, let me start off with that by simply saying one of the myths about reconciliation as a phenomenon is that you have to back down your, you know, the passion with which you believe what you believe. That is a myth. What needs to happen if there's going to be authentic reconciliation is I need to be able to speak what I believe to be true with all the passion I've got. But then when it's your turn, I need to listen to and respect your passion. That's, I mean, it's a choice. It's not based on how you feel. I need to listen. And then I would argue that you have to ask a higher power. I say God. I say the Lord Jesus Christ to reframe the conversation so that we're both more interested in truth and in engaging with one another than in just having my say, having your say. And it's something that you got to struggle with, but you choose it moment by moment. You just choose to say, all right, I'm going to listen. And now it's my turn. I'm going to speak. And I'm going to say, have we heard? But you know, are the two sides of the story all there is, or is there a way to reframe that conversation to get to something that's maybe even more true? I'm not talking about relativity. I'm talking about an honest seeking after what's really real. And when you do that, when both sides do that, you're going to find that you enter into a relationship that you didn't have before as well.
Well, and it can be on any level.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned, you know, that God does this, and mm-hmm. people need to be able to talk with each other. At, you know, and hold in any manner, whether mm-hmm. they believe, you know, God's telling them to do this or it's just the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah. So you seek seek that reality, whether yeah. you call it God or not. You seek the reality. You're going to find out what's really real.
That's right. Okay, we got to take a quick break here. Carl in the Bot in Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Jim Wilson. He's going to be launching a new show on Sunday evenings from 6 to 8 called...
Right here. Genesis Generation Radio.
Right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, in the morning. Yeah, it's 7:55 in the morning.
What we talk about at the break?
Yeah, this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite, Airport Road, right down from Burrito Bandito. Doug Tooley, what a guy. Guarantees his work. You want Dish TV. He is the man to go to. He's been very busy lately. He's had to hire a couple more crew people because he guarantees his work. He does great work. We're having him set us up there with Dish TV, making that change. Again, part of it is because it's local, part of it because we know the guy we're dealing with. 244-1988 is his phone number. Go down and give him a call. He's been in the business since 1985. That's B&T Satellite, right off Airport Road, right down from the Burrito Bandito. Our guest.
Jim Wilson. We're going to be beginning a show
Indeed.
On this Sunday.
This coming Sunday, 6 o'clock. By the way, I know Doug Tooley well. He's a good friend of mine, and he is an awesome man. And well worth whatever business you send his way.
Oh,
excellent. That's so nice to hear.
We've had
Jim.
People call in that worked for him to say he's a great guy. I mean, it's like,
he is.
So, and again, it's somebody that you can talk to. Again, we go back mm-hmm. to the local people here.
That's right.
Which is what your show is going to be about.
It's going to be all about.
Sunday evening, 6 p.m., mm-hmm. you are going to be simulcasting with through Red Bluff and streaming throughout the world.
That's true. And the rotating teams. I'd like to tell you a little bit about my team,
yes,
if I may. I'm going to be on with Beth Basher, who leads a local band called Blameless Child. She's 18 years old. The following week, it's going to be Pastor Jack Witt from City Church and a young man by the name of Brandon Crowder, who's a graduate student out at Simpson and works out at Gold Hills Golf Club. Cross section of the community is what I'm talking about. Pastor Dave Honey from Good News Rescue Mission will be on the third week in each month, along with Austin Adams, who's a journalism student and has actually appeared on your sister station across the way, KLXR 1230, when they were doing the Good News feature. Fourth week of every month, it's going to be Kimber Dunn and Mia Crowder from The Crossing, which is a gathering place for kids. So we've got a cross section of the community, people who are out there doing the kinds of things that we talk about, and that's what I think is really exciting.
And
about
it's a
program.
Two hours. Come on top of that.
That's right.
2 hours of call-in time for
that's
people
right.
who have something heavy on their heart and they just are not quite sure how to handle it. This is a great way to be able to go on your computer and ask a question that way.
In each of our teams, at least one member of the team has a couple of decades worth of crisis intervention experience. However, I do want to say we're not trying to do Dr. Laura. This is not that kind of a program. If somebody has something heavy on their heart, we will be happy to engage with you, and we will. But we want to talk about whatever you want to talk about. And I always get very excited when somebody wants to talk about the San Diego Padres, for example. And Bob Belongi does like to talk about the Padres. I don't know about you guys. But it's whatever's on your mind. Whatever's on your mind, call us and let's talk about it.
We like to talk about Bob's Hawaiian shirts. But I see you've walked in with one.
Well, it's true. It's true. And it's kind of a uniform for me.
Well, before we took a break, I'll just give the funny thing is that we were talking about Tommy Bahama's. Where were the Hawaiian shirts this year, which is the tuxedo for Reading?
That's right.
It is the, we always call it Reading tuxedo or however you want to say it. So anyway, Tommy Bahama's, you know, always has them. And Tommy Bahama's, of course, is rather costly. But when you get the sale rack, they're good. So for Carl's birthday, I have to admit, you know, he still never lets me down on this one. It got thrown in with a bunch of the towels that got bleached, and so
I have a Tommy Bahama that's bleached.
That is a tragedy. We've got to do something about
it.
That.
I still wear
he
it because it's kind of a pale off color of something anyway. Hey Jim,
it's wearable.
We're glad that you're glad that you're joining our lineup.
Can't wait.
We here at KCNR, we want to fill up our local programming Saturdays and Sundays, and Linda's first step out into during the week on Thursdays. We would like to, as we grow, as we continue to move forward with our station and the community, we want to make this more community programming. In other words, another show during the day, you know, for an hour. Maybe that Monday through Friday, at 6 o'clock hour. One day with you know, of course, Linda's on the spot, and then maybe a couple other people, mm-hmm. you know, at the 6 o'clock hour that we can have there that talk about items of interest for here in our community. And then, again, more community programming.
You're talking about stuff that's really real, Carl.
Well, you know, we believe that's the future. Yes. We believe that's the future. It's the future is streaming. And, you know, Brad Fisher, our little hobbit that runs our website and everything is, you know, he's got us, we're out streaming to the world, we're archiving everything, you know, people can, you know, come in the chat rooms. So we want our community to have a voice out there in the world. I mean, you know, we the people, and that's we the people is all the people, not just the right hand, you know, people on the right hand side or the left hand side, it's we the people. And that's why we've, you know, that's why we open our station to that, to different viewpoints.
Amen.
And we try to do that. Yeah, we've got our viewpoint, but there's others that have other viewpoints, and we want to give time to that.
Amen. That works for me.
I think it'll work for everybody. Anyway, hey, Jim, thanks a lot. And that's 6 p.m. Sunday, starting this Sunday.
Starting this Sunday, Labor Day weekend. Be there or be square.
Yeah, starting on Labor Day.
Speaking of a blast from the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we welcome you to the station, and we welcome the show. We're thrilled to have you with us. Coming up after Fox News, we have Gary Cadd.
And we're going to be talking a number of things. Gary, of course, is candidate for city council. And, you know, there's been a lot of things that have hit the news just in the last day. And today on the front page of the newspaper, driven by the fact they knew we were going to talk about it this morning, was the talk about salaries and retirements and pensions. And I think that Gary's going to be discussing that, as we will. So join us after these messages. Join us after the news. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 8:05 in the morning, September 2nd. We're back, we're hot, we're ready to fire. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, besides the fact that Joe and Shelley are just great people, they offer great products at great prices. Espresso Joe's, it's going to be 103 today. Go get that iced coffee. Don't leave your dog out in the car while you're doing it. Get that iced coffee. Walk into the best humidor in the North State, well, in all of California. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Great Americans that support this community.
It's currently 75 degrees right now if you're just tuning in. Going to be 103 today. We are online, so if you just want to get on your computer and chat and engage in the firestorm, it's about ready to begin. Good morning. We have Gary Cadd with us, who is the candidate for Reading City Council, and boy, I see some numbers in front of us.
You brought in some stuff, Gary. You know, we got a phone call while we were gone of the story about this, and they said, are you ready to roll with it? And we said, yeah, of course we are. You know, it's something different. And then they I think they moved their storage forward because they knew we were going to be talking big time about this today. But the work that the it came from the Record Searchlight. We're not going to take any claim that we did this. We didn't. But there has on the front page they're talking about salaries of managers at the manager level. They give names up, I think, down to a certain level, which I understand. But the thing is the fact that you're running for city council here, what does this mean to you? That when you see something like this, Gary?
Well, it's something that's been on my mind for some time. Back in January, I think it was the second meeting in February of this year, I went before the council and I told council that they need to start making some cuts and especially having the employees pay their share of their PERS payment, which for public safety is 9% and for everyone else is 7%. And I have probably been before council three or four times additionally making that same statement, and it needs to be done. I think that the leaders of the city need to lead by example. If we're going to ask the police and fire and the other bargaining units to come forward and start paying their share, the leaders need to start at the top. Well, what the Record Searchlight has done is every year they get this report from the city, and in the process of getting it this time, they've got all, I think, 775 employees are listed on here, and the top 74, I believe it is, has the names by them. I don't want to talk about names.
That's not important. We don't want to do that. As Linda says it's kind of like, you feel
naked.
If somebody's out there talking about you, sorry. Now, see, people could go to mine and look up how much I make as a retired lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps. That's fine, but we're not interested in names. What we're interested in is the amounts and how we get this under control.
Well, and another thing to look at here too. I do not blame the city employees for this situation at all. This situation can be laid right at the feet of previous councils. Previous councils are the ones that have fostered what's going on here. We do not have the money. We didn't have the money in 04, 05, 06, 7, 8, 9, 10. We don't have the money to be able to step forward and be paying these wages. If you go down through the wages, there's parking meter service worker, and I don't know who this person is or these persons are, but $88,443 for the total package. Now, this is salary, this is benefits, and this is health care. $88,000.
What does this person do?
Is a parking meter service worker.
A parking meter service worker. So that means they repair the parking meters?
Either that, or they're the ones that go check the parking. Maybe they check the parking meters from when they're overdue.
Okay.
All right. Then we can go on to tree trimmer. $85,000 plus for a tree trimmer.
Now that's not their base pay, of course.
No, this is total package.
This is their package they get. Right. But that's they could be making $35,000 or $40,000.
Well, they're probably the benefits are about 40 to 45% of what the of the total amount. So I'd probably say they're probably 45,000, maybe 50,000, something like that. But even at that, that's an awful lot of money. And we got meter readers in a range of 81,200 down to 76,133.
Now, meter readers, does that include, you're talking about the electric utilities?
Everybody's on here, basically.
Well, we've got to take a break here, but the Reading Electric Utility funds, I mean, they pay yes. all their salaries out of REU. It doesn't come out of the general fund. However, I know they do put $6 to $8 million into the general fund which is one that pays the rest of the salaries you're talking about.
Right. There's $6 million, which is in lieu of property taxes, and then there's $2.1 million, which is the late fees from REU that's been put into but that's down, I think, to $1.8 million now. But yeah.
Well, we've got to take a break here, and when we come back, let's get back into this. And again, we're not here to point fingers at specific people.
Definitely not.
But we are here to talk about, we're just as an example, I mean, after I figured it out, and it came out to something like $118,000 $118,000 that we pay as an average for 762 employees a year. $118,000 when you add
on
in everything.
Mm-hmm.
On an average, it's $90 million, and when you divide 762 in that, it comes out to like $118,000 per employee.
That's an awful lot of money. And how many people in the community make $118,000 a year?
Well, that's something that, that we need to talk about. And the fact is there are people that are making, that have gone to work for the city and the county at lower, they make lower than, say, they would on the outside. And the reason they did that is because of the compensation packages. They know at the end of the time they've made less money up front, but they will have a retirement at the end of it. They will have health care at the end of it.
That's right.
Other cases, however, they're making three times as much or four times as much as the people in the community, and then another, they double it with their with the benefits. So I think we need to take a look at that. Anyway, Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
KCNR 1460, this is Carl and Linda Bott. We're back.
Yeah, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite off Airport Road. Doug Tooley there is a great guy. He does Dish TV. He's been in the business since 1985. He's a veteran. Took some time out for the 82nd Airborne. Guarantees his work. We use Doug's services, and we're happy that we do. And obviously, a lot of other people do, too.
We're taking your calls this morning, 605-4567. It's the hotline here. We've got Gary Cadd with us. And the calls, the lines are open, and we're also taking your emails, Linda at KCNR1460.com.
We're chatting. Now, we're talking about the about salaries and compensation right here in the city of Reading. Now, Gary, what you've told us is that before you go and look at all these other different cuts, you know, in the employees, we should be looking at management.
Upper management. Well, of course, okay. Upper management is they are the leaders of the city. And the leaders of the city need to set an example. They can't just say, okay, you folks need to start paying, and we're not going to pay. They need to lead by example. So they need to start paying their share of their PERS payment. Actually, it's PERS and PARS. They have everybody but the public safety has actually two retirements. But the employee portion of that retirement needs to be paid by the employee. We, the city of Reading, the 92,000 people who live here in the city, can no longer afford to pay their share. They need to step up and take their share. Times are hard. The sales tax are way down. The county of Shasta has lost $1 billion, that's with a B, $1 billion in assessed valuation since 07. That's $1 billion down. That's an awful lot of property tax money that is not coming into the city any longer.
I believe Leslie Morgan said almost every house, thousands of houses that they do every year to reassess has gone down. I mean, not some of them, not most of them, almost every one of them
exactly
has lost
right.
value. Okay, let's go to the phones. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. And
good morning.
Question for you here. I was just looking in the RS this morning about the base salaries of these fire captains and stuff. That's a huge swing from the 88,000 base salary to a total compensation package, 250 grand. That's, I'm assuming, because that overtime issue that we hear about other cities have that down Southern California, the guys end up with 500K a year.
Yes, it is. I think the person that makes that 250 receives $66,000 a year in overtime. I have the form right here in front of me, but I'm not going to look down to look at it. I'm pretty sure it is $66,000 overtime. But the thing that you're looking at when you look through this and the fire guys that they supported me last time. They're not this time, but I love those guys, man. The fires they put out, not so much this year. Thank God we haven't had them, but last year, especially when the fire that came over close to Turtle Bay, those guys rallied. They got out there, and I mean, they worked themselves and got in there. But does the city of Reading need 30 fire captains? There's 30 fire captains listed here, and I don't understand why there are so many. You'd think there'd be more
more rank and file people below them. But again, this is going back to previous councils. I do not blame the fire department. I do not blame the police department. And I don't blame any of the other bargaining units within the city of Reading. This lays right at the feet of previous city councils. And what I'm saying is that the city of Reading deserves to have people on the council with the backbone to make the hard decisions. First of all, so many people say, well, a city councilman for the city of Reading is a part-time job. There's no part-time to this job. If somebody's going to take a seat on the Reading City Council, they have to be prepared to dig in, be able to go in and study the issues, and not vote on something that maybe they don't totally understand. They need to understand everything that's about that issue, or as far as I'm concerned, they shouldn't be voting on the issue. And we should move forward and be able to take care of what we need. Now, our resources are down, sales tax down, and I'm sorry to say, I mean, I'm not pessimistic, but I am going to plan for the low side. And it doesn't look to me as though anytime soon we're going to have sales tax back where we wanted on, say, at 06, 07 level. So we have to keep our eyes sharp. We have to see what's going on. And we have to run the city of Reading to run it solvent, to run it solid as a rock.
Well, I really appreciate that. And it's time that the can doesn't get kicked down the street anymore, because we know these things are unsustainable. So we do thank you for taking a shot at this and letting everybody know, because there's a lot of people out here do not know just how this runs out. But it'll be interesting to see another printout, and as you guys continue, I'll thank you a bunch.
All right. Thank you very much, Bruce.
Hey, we got to take a quick break here. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our guest is Gary Cadd, candidate for city council, and we're talking about the front page news today on the amount of money that we pay as our taxpayers not our elected leaders, of course, but to the people that run the city, the managers, the higher ups in it, not by name, not to point it out, because we're not here to poke people in the eye, but to say one thing is that there is a great deal of money we're passing out, or we're paying out to the people that work here for us, that 750 people that work for the city, and where does this, you know, $90.3 million a year go to? And can it be changed? Can we save money? Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:25 in the morning. Carl Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Go to our website at kcnr1460.com and start chatting with everybody else. Our guest, Gary Cadd, running. He's a candidate for Reading City Council. And let's go to the phones. George, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Thank you. I'm listening to this, and you and I have discussed this on the radio before, but, you know, as long as the city and the state, everybody pays these high wages, you were talking the other day about $45 or $50 an hour for your line crews. You compare that to the outside, the general public, that's way out of line. And I don't know, I guess we just slept through the whole thing and let them get wages up. There are other things, you know, just like the trucks and what have you, they run in the city that are 10-wheelers and above. I don't know if they're anything about the others, but the 10-wheelers that are California-exempt, every truck they're running, the California's losing about, probably, my truck fee is $2,200 a year.
Right.
So if you figured to hire somebody and pay half of that, that would only be $1,200 a year that we would be losing, you know, on with the city owning your own equipment. I don't understand why they do that, and then to run the wages so high that nobody could. I mean, it's just unreal. I understood last time when I talked to you about the wages. Everybody said, well, it's a dangerous job, and you know, there's not a job out here that isn't dangerous. If there was, we wouldn't have Cal OSHA.
Yeah, that's true. You know, George, let's just ask Gary, what do you think about privatization and taking a real look at things?
Well, the privatization, the city council and staff, and they brought in some citizens onto a privatization committee. And I attended all the meetings. But the thing with it was they overloaded the committee so much that the committee got nothing done, and they, more or less in frustration, disbanded. If we want to do it, we need to look at a particular issue and move forward with it and dig into it and find out whether it is to the city's advantage to do it or not. So do I want to look at it? Yeah, I would look at it. I don't know if we're going to find that exact mix to do it or not, but I think we need to look at it. Now, having said that, I personally think that council can get their heads together and come up with the issues that need to be taken care of. Now, people will talk about, well, other people in other areas make this much money. They're making this much an hour. Other people in other areas are in cities and in counties that are having hard times. They're getting close to going into bankruptcy. They're $500 million in debt. I mean, do we want to go there? Do we want to go into debt? Or do we want a council that's going to stand up now? I don't care what happens in L.A. I don't care what happens in San Diego, San Francisco, and some of these other cities. What I care about is Redding, California. And this is where we have to do it. And if we are the first to start making some of these cuts, let's do it. Okay. I mean, being first isn't going to hurt anything if we're taking care of our financial house.
Well, the thing that I look at is, if you look at, and I don't know why we let it happen, but if you look at private industry, I'm sure that out there in private industry, in union people, they're not making as much money as the city of Redding is paying. I worked for the city of Redding when I was 16. I made $1.35 an hour. And I'm sure that the same, even the labors that I was doing, I'm sure they're making up 12, 15. Well, I know they are. One of my renters is working, just got a job making $15 an hour.
Things that change and stuff, George. But, you know, the two big things you talked about is, you know, we need to look at privatization, not with a huge thing. Let's look at the whole forest. Let's look at little trees first. You know, let's cut off the trees. Hey, George, we've got to run. We've got an 8:30 hard break here. Thanks for your phone call.
Well, thank you.
You bet.
Thanks, George.
Now, we have other people on the line, but really, let's get started with that right after we take our break. Okay, the bottom line is, our guest is Gary Cadd. We're talking about the article in the Record Searchlight that listed all of the salaries of everybody, some by name, mostly not, which is fine. We don't care about by name. What we're looking at is the amounts that are paid. It averages out for everybody in the city of Redding. Every public employee averages, it's $118,000 per employee. When you add their salary and then all the benefits they get for their, you know, CalPERS and medical. Is that correct, Gary?
That's right. Yes, it is.
Okay. So that's what we want to discuss. I know we have some people on the line that want to talk about that when we get back. So hang on to after the break, and we will bring that back in. And again, this is Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott, 8:35 in the morning, September 2nd, for all you people that somehow slept through August.
Currently 76 degrees.
What happened, Walk of Life?
Today's going to be 103.
What happened, Walk of Life?
The weather's always brought to you by...
Got to play last hour, I can play it again next
break. Okay, well, have a next break. Weather's always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards. Chef John Stadelli, always cooking up some five-star meals. Now, by the way, 605-4567 is the hotline, but we do have somebody on the phone. Good morning. You are on KCNR, live on the air right now.
Ray, good morning.
Good morning. It's Ray Thomas with IBW, and it's been a couple of weeks, but I had an opportunity to speak with Gary at the Tea Party Patriot meeting.
That's right.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
I just wanted to share my thoughts on the total compensation epiphany that everybody's having as of last evening, and share with you all and your listeners that for over 2 years, I do blame part of this issue on current city council. For 2 years, and Gary was present at meetings city council meetings where I've constantly made the request that the city council honor its own city council policy. If you go to the website, pull up the Reading City Council page, there's a list of their own policies that they're supposed to go by, and that includes total compensation salary surveys with both the private sector and the public sector. When I hear the discussions about private sector, these total comp compensation packages versus the private sector, for over 2 years, we've been demanding that the city follow its own policy and do comparisons to the private sector and public sector. This council, the current sitting council, at least the majority of them, refuse to follow their own policy.
Well, Ray,
that's how we end up in these situations.
Ray, if I could step in here. As I told you at the Tea Party meeting when you and I were talking, some of what you're going to bring up, I can't speak to because it was done in closed session, and I'm not privy to what was said when it was there. I do know that I can tell you this. There are skill levels all across the board in California, not just the electric utilities, but skill levels all across the board that are set at a certain wage. These wages are going to have to come down. The years and years of higher wages are going to have to step down. We, the people, on the backs of the people, can no longer afford what's going on. We, the people in the community, the 92,000 of us in the city of Reading, can no longer be paying these high salaries and these high benefits. And what I am putting forward is also for IBEW, REU, top to bottom, top management, all the way down, to pay their share of their PERS payment. This is one of the...
You know, the PERS, Gary, on that point, you're talking about determinations by DLSR for prevailing wage. I believe that's what you're referring to. I'm not even talking about that. The beauty of the city of Reading is that they don't have to comply with prevailing wage for their own employees. When you talk about a tree trimmer making $85,000 a year total compensation, you're talking about an individual that's got a two-year apprenticeship that's pulling tree limbs off of 12,000-volt power lines, and then they can move over and work on water pipe or whatever else the city needs them to do, and the city doesn't even have to honor prevailing wage determinations for their own employees. But how do you determine whether or not a total compensation is too much? Why doesn't this current council follow their own policy and survey what the private sector makes, and then they'll know whether they're in line or not?
Well, because one of the things, if you survey the private sector and find out what is being made, the private sector is going to have to lower their wages because the people can't afford it. The cities can't afford it. Public utilities cannot afford it.
That would come out in the survey, Gary.
Pardon?
That would come out in the survey. That would come out in the survey. What is the private sector?
Well, why can't we listen, Ray? I don't want to get into an argument with you. You and I can talk privately about this. I have the feelings that this needs. We need to make changes. We have to.
Linda, Carl, the city council, the current city council, needs to follow their own policy. Survey what the private sector pays. That's what everybody's arguing. They don't even follow their own policy, and that's what I had to offer.
Hey, you know, Ray, and thanks so much for the phone call. You know what? We need to have you in, and so we can talk about this at an extended period. And
I've been waiting for my visit with Patrick for a long time, so if you could set that up, I'm ready.
Well, you know what? We might just be able to do that. You never can tell.
Okay.
I think that, you know, but I think one of the things that everybody wanted was to take a look at the top management before you work your way down. And I think Jones is calling for a meeting for that right now. And I think that, but I also believe, and everybody I've talked to, a lot of them offline here, of course, I won't say it on the radio, is that we need to take a look at getting our arms around what's going on. We can't afford to keep doing it the same way. So we got to, you know, so let's, I think we need to look at it as a community and see what we can do. But Ray, we'll have you on and let you, take calls in too.
Well, thank you.
Okay, no problem. Okay, we've got to run. Okay, thanks, Ray. We've got to take a quick break here. When we come back, our guest is Gary Cadd. We're going to be talking about a number of other issues also that have to do with the city. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
I'm here.
Yeah, Bob, finally. You leave for 3 days. Other people come in here. And you throw away my music. Carl in the Butt, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Gary Cadd. We're talking about what to do if he is elected to be on the Reading City Council.
Another item that I like to bring up. You know, we have video and television and computer on city council meetings. Well, I believe that we need to put all of the city meetings on video and on TV. It would cost, I'm told it would cost about $5,000 a year to do, and I'm also told that there's people in the community that would pony up to pay that $5,000 to get all those meetings on. But you got to stop and look at something. REU has $32 million in a reserve account. Reading Redevelopment Agency has 35.7 as of July of this year. That's an awful lot of money, and I think that we ought to have these meetings, the Redevelopment Agency, the RAVA, CSAC, Community Service Advisory Commission, the Planning Commission, all of these meetings should be televised and should be at least put on the Internet to where people could bring them up and see them. This is your money, folks. This is the $92,000 of it. This is our money. And we need to be able to figure out what's going on and what's happening and how it's being done. Now, having said that, and talking to people around the community, they say, well, Gary, I don't go to city council meetings, but I watch it at home on TV and scream at my TV. Or I watch it at home and on my computer and I scream at my computer monitor. The only difference between those folks and myself is I have gone to every single city council meeting since January of 07 when I retired working on in the oil field up on the north slope of Alaska. And I was just a chemical operator. I was just a hired hand is all I was. I wasn't an executive or something like that. But if we put these different programs on the Internet, then we can tell what's going on. Then you, the folks, can react to it. If you do watch it at home, you can still say, hey, Gary Cadd, if you're on the city council, I think you should do this. But at least you will become more informed. And the people that are more informed, we're not going to be having some of the problems we're having right now. I wonder how the people down in Bell, California, if they'd have been informed, if they'd have got to the point that they went down there.
Hey, Gary, there's a lot of laws, regulations on business here in Reading. A lot of really heavy fees. Would you go through all these if you're elected? And how are you going to make Reading more business friendly for people trying to start a business here?
The culture in City Hall needs to change. Let me say that a second time. The culture in City Hall needs to change. I'm become privy to some situation to where some folks went into City Hall. They wanted to take a building they were using for storage and make it into some classrooms, and the fees were quoted to start out with at $60,000. I believe they finally, after 6 months, they were down to $9,000 and they moved forward. But 6 months was wasted. There's another situation to where somebody went in. It was $90,000 they were going to have to come up with. Every project deserves to be looked at on its own merits, but the city needs to bring forward what we need in impact fees, what we need in these fees, but they all need to be on the same scale. And as long as I keep hearing reports of exaggerated impact fees coming in, then I'm going to put my nose into it and take a look at it. Because I can tell you one thing, city council is not a part-time job, it is a full-time job. And I fully intend to be a city councilman and treat it as a full-time job. If there's the issues coming up, I want to know the issue inside out, upside down, backwards, and then I will vote on it. If it isn't, I will move to table the issue until we on the council will understand what's going on. I don't like voting for things that I don't know what they are, and it's your money, it's my money, it's our money, and that's the money that needs to be spent in the correct way.
Has anybody, and I ask this for everybody, you know, to go through the existing laws and existing regulations. Has anybody, you know, done that? I talked to somebody in the Planning Commission, and they spend some time going through it, but it seems like we, you know, all these existing regulations just make it harder on everybody. So you're saying that you would you do that? Would you at least, you know, would somebody look at these things instead of just relying on what's happened in the last 20 years?
Well, of course. Relying on what's happened the last 20 years has got us to where we are today. That's where this file that's in front of us we're looking at. That's where that's come from. Previous councils. We need to have people that are going to take... This isn't a... Being on the city council is not a social job. This is a job. When I went in and raised my hand and swore to defend the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of California, that was in my heart. That was a moment that I truly said, yes, I do. And I fully intend to defend both those constitutions and to defend we the people here in the city of Reading.
Okay, our guest has been Gary Cadd. We're going to take a break here, and we'll come back, finish up in our last segment. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Timber.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:53 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Portions of this show brought to you by the Cypress Square Barbershop on Athens Avenue. D.C. Tim and the Man in Black give great haircuts, great prices, and it's Man's Last Stronghold. That's right, Man's Last Stronghold. Go down there, visit them, get a great haircut. Talk to them, mention Free Fire Radio. See what happens.
Our guest this morning is Gary Cadd, who is the candidate for Reading City Council. And, well, I'll tell you what, you're got a lot of passion going on. Do you have some closing thoughts here that you'd like to share or another announcement?
Yeah, well, real quickly, there's an issue that came up before the council, and it's ballot initiatives. And the council members have put ballot initiative on the ballot as to whether, I think they involve health care and they involve pensions. And this is a vote going up to the people. There's been a misconception floating around that these are going to cost $50,000. The run of the mill, when you go talk to the county clerk, Kathy Darling, that it costs $25,000 to put an issue on the ballot. But that all boils down to how many other issues are on the ballot. The more issues, the less that amount's going to be. The $25,000 figure was figured more for the primary in June. Granted, less number of items on the ballot. In November, there'll be a lot more items, and that's going to be a lot less. So I would imagine that, and I haven't called Kathy to talk to her. It's been probably back in June when I talked to her. But these two ballot initiatives probably are going to cost around $20,000 together, $10,000 apiece, maybe $12,000. You can take, for instance, that when I signed up 2 years ago to run for city council, I had to pay $1,000, and I got back $418 back out of that in March of the next year. Well, this year we paid $1,750. There's 10 of us running. We're probably going to pay $300-$400 and probably get $600 back. So you can draw a rule of thumb from the $25,000. You get half or a little more of that back. So the people that are banting around saying that city council members are going to spend $50,000 to put these two ballot measures on the ballot, that is simply not true.
Well, these ballot measures, though, Gary, it's just they have no bite to them, right? This is just to see how the people feel. Is that it? It's just it says what's the temperature of the city right then?
Well, it shows the temperature of the city, but it also gives a baseline to where city council will start their negotiations with the differing bargaining units. Which would be that there's eight unions and one unrepresented, for a total of eight, I believe is what it is. So it gives a baseline of where city council is going to start their negotiations. So I think that it's a good thing. I'm going to vote in favor of them. Had I been on the council, I don't know if I would have put them on. I think that maybe I might have started with upper management and suggested. What I've been suggesting all along is start with upper management and then move down through the ranks. But one of the reasons that we're having the problems we're having is you have to wait until the contracts are open. They're open for negotiation. Then you can do something. The unions don't have to make a move. They don't have to make a concession at all as long as they're working within a bargaining time. Now, one thing that has happened is that some of the unions will want to make a concession, but they want to add a year onto their contract. Well, if we add a year onto the contract, we get a small concession now to take care of that the problem that's right in front of us. Maybe they have to cut $500,000. We take care of that $500,000. What's going to happen next year? If we have that contract run out 2 or 3 years, we're in trouble of changing things. So we have to be on top of it. Because like I've told you, I am looking at the worst case scenario as far as what's happening within the city of Reading. And the council is your representatives to keep an eye on what's happening. It's your money. So one other thing I'd like to talk about real quick is that TANC is the Transmission Agency of Northern California. They were in the process of putting in a TANC line down through Eastern Shasta and all the way down Yolo County and down the line. That was stopped last summer. Well, it's coming back again. And out of the 15 members in TANC, there's only one of the 15 members of TANC that is involved now, and that's REU. And quite surprising, PG&E is a member. And the one thing that I was told back when I was gathering information on this issue was, why don't we put the new lines on the present towers? Well, I was told that if we do that, then by state law, you have to charge the highest tariff of whoever is on that tower. So we'd have to charge PG&E's tariff. Well, if PG&E is involved in this new California-Oregon transmission line, are we going to one day be surprised and say, oh, by the way, we're going to have to raise our rates because the tariff's higher? So I think that this issue needs to be looked at and hard.
From what I understand is these lines were built were made because of the implementing the 33% power has to come from the renewables. Is that right?
But the renewables are supposed to come from within California. This line here is California, Oregon, even up into British Columbia. So this is another issue that the council needs to look at.
It can't be something that was in like it did last time, and was kind of like it was voted on, but nobody knew about it. And we like to say is that we were right in the middle of that fight when it started. Mm-hmm. So tell us how to get a hold of you, your website or phone numbers or what.
All right, real quick, I'd like to ask for your support and for your vote, either on the mail-in ballot or with the polls on November the 2nd. And together, we can put Reading back on solid financial situation. My website, which is not up to date, we're getting up to speed, but it's GaryCad.com, and phone number is 241-8404. And I'll give that number out because I need to start Gary's Army and start walking around the city. And if some of you folks would like to walk with me, I'd love to have you with me.
I have a quick question from you from the chat room, and it's just going to take a yes or no because I do have to make another announcement, and that is, if you have been on city council, do you get lifetime medical?
Well, I know. I already got Medicare.
No. If you're city council, do you get lifetime medical?
Well, some members do. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, back when Misty MacArthur first got on, they ended that. But then I heard later there was some conjecture. But I would say no, you do not.
Okay. All right. Thanks,
well,
Gary.
Thank you so much, Gary Katz.
And you will if we're having every candidate that wants to appear on the show, will have their time on the air to explain their.
Okay, we got a last minute announcement here. Up at the Benton Dog Park tonight at 6 p.m., Kenna Hunt, who is the president of the Benton Dog Park Association, is going to be up there with banners and signs for those of you who want to volunteer to be on the association. Here's what happens. If we don't get volunteers, the association will go bye-bye, and the city, it's the city park, there is not a board of people to represent the people at that point. So we desperately need volunteers, and tonight, if you'll show up at the dog park at 6 p.m., they are looking for 2011 Benton Dog Park position. So we'd love to see you up there.
Okay, our guest tomorrow will be, we urge people to go up there because that dog park is visited by thousands of people, and we need to have a voice here in with the city. Our guest tomorrow will be Mark Baird, who's coming in to talk about the water wars up in Siskiyou County, what's going on with the fishing game, and how it can destroy the way of life up there and will affect us here in Shasta County. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Next week, we've got a full week, too, of people coming in to talk with us about politics and everything, but we'll get to that tomorrow. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta, Reading.